the blood of Christ is powerful enough to change you. So if you truly believe in it, you will change. And if you're not changing, either you don't have it or you need to get focused on Christ. Because something should be different about you. And something should be changing inside of you. And if it's not, then you need to sit back and take an assessment and say, where am I with Christ? And so Peter's challenging us. And he's saying, don't you dare look God in the face and smack him in the face and say, look, your son's blood is not strong enough to change me. Because it's precious blood and it's strong enough to just turn your entire world upside down if you truly believe in it. And so he's going on to 1 Peter 1. If you have your Bibles, hopefully for C groups, you guys brought some Bibles for points, right? And just because you love the word of God, that'd be good. I see lots of Bibles. It's awesome. We're in 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25. So if you're opening there with me. Based on that whole thing that we talked about, how Christ's blood is so precious and so powerful, it should be able to change you and make your whole life look different and make you holy. This is going to be the next step of this holiness process, okay? So here we go, 1 Peter 1, verse 22, we'll start there. It says, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your life, your new life, will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. So Peter's starting off and he's saying, look, this blood of Christ is so precious that it should change you and leave you without excuse to ever be able to say, sorry, God, I'm human. You're human with the blood of the God of the universe on you, changing your life, the Holy Spirit living in you to make you different. And that should make an impact. I mean, just seeing God, let's say you don't even get saved, but you recognize who God is. Just that should make an impact in your life if you truly see the God of creation. Because he's that big and that amazing that even if you never accepted him, you should still fall on your knees in awe of him. And some people will do that. In Philippians, it tells us that even the people that don't believe in Christ are still going to end up on their knees before him, bowing down, crying out that Christ is Lord. And even if you don't accept Jesus, just a glimpse of who God is should be enough to send you straight to your knees. Imagine when you actually trust in him and have a relationship with this God. How much more radically should it change your entire life? And so he's going on, he's saying, this is some changes that should happen inside of you. First, you are cleansed from your sins. And what is this word cleansed? What does this relate to? Why is he using the word cleansed here? What have we been talking about? Holiness. And holiness also, one of its meanings is set apart or cleansed, cleaned. And so you were cleansed from your sins. In other words, you should be living like you're cleansed from your sins. This big thing that happened to you, this holiness that you're this, now you're this clean glass of water without any boogers in it, remember? Like you're this like fresh, clean, all you, the way God made you because the blood of Jesus is on you and you're pure and you are made holy. That's a huge thing that happens inside of you. And this is how it happens. Are you ready? When you obeyed the truth, up here it says, by obeying the truth. So let's think about that for a second, because so often we get this idea that as long as I believe in God, I'm good. I'm saved. But then I look at my life and nothing ever changes and I'm exactly the same and I'm the same jerk I've always been to my family and my friends. I still have no problem cheating on any of my tests. Never mind the way I treat my girlfriend or boyfriend. Never mind the way I act on a field in sports. You know, but I believe in God. And Peter's telling us that the way you become purified is by obeying the truth. And therein lies the problem that so many of us say, well, I believe in God. And I believe also that Jesus died for me. How many of you guys can raise your hand right now and tell me the gospel? What's the gospel? Who could actually do it? I'm curious. Junior high got it, so I want to test these big old bad high schoolers who have had plenty of years to do this. Who can raise your hand and say, tell me what the gospel is quickly? Tell me the gospel.
Jesus Christ, We were all sinners, and we've been sinners since birth, and Jesus Christ came down, and he led a pure and sinless life just for us, and then died like the lamb sacrifice just for us, so that if we take his gift of his death, he makes us clean, and we're saved.
Ooh, woohoo! All right. They were cheating back there. They got a call with the answer. They had a little lifeline going on. I heard that. I like that you used the word clean. That's awesome. All right. That's a great definition. Now, I need a further explanation. Okay. And I'm not going to ask you because you already rocked it out of the house. Let's ask somebody else. What is this? She said part of it was accept. What did you say? Accept what? Accept his gift. Someone explain what that is. Who can put in other words, further explain what accepting his gift is? Christian? Am I going to... No, okay, good.
To embrace the fact that he is God and he died for us and that we need to start living a life more for him and not for ourselves anymore.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Anyone else, can you add to that at all?
First of all, you got to realize that you have a need, and then once you realize that, just let him change you completely. That's accepting his gift. Letting yourself be saved, but also then giving back to him and realizing that it's not your life anymore.
It's not your life anymore. Good. All right. I keep prodding because I'm looking. I'm waiting for one certain word that I just tend to like. But you're all right so far. You don't have any words? Here, tell us what you think.
Oh, hi. I was thinking, since you're saying it's like a gift, and there could be gifts that you don't, there could be like gifts that you don't want, but if you get a gift that you want, you'll use it, right? And you won't like abuse it. Like you won't like trash it or... get all messed up to use it righteously, I guess, and like this.
That's good. That's good stuff. That's really good. All right. I might not get the word I'm looking for because I'm picky. Oh, I think Clara Bailey says she has the word. I feel like a talk show host right now, and I don't like it. Okay, but I'm coming back here. Here you go. Okay, together. Go ahead.
Salvation.
That's not the word I'm looking for at all. Salvation is an awesome word. It's not the one I'm looking for. I want to know how salvation happens. I want to know how you accept the gift and give your life and do all these things that we're saying. There's one key word I'm kind of looking for. Kyle, do you know? Okay, faith is part of it, definitely. But it's not my word. It starts with an S. This is kind of getting pointless, so I'm just going to tell you. It's not sanctification. I mean, it is sanctification, but it's not the word. All right, are you ready? Here's the word. This is the word I'm looking for. This is the part that we forget, because a lot of times we use these like phrases, but then I ask you to like, not I don't ask you, but we need to like be able to define what they really mean. Often I'll sit with like little kids and they'll tell me that they accepted Jesus, and I'll say, well, what does that mean? Like, I asked Jesus to come in my heart. And you guys hear me banter about this all the time because it's my pet peeve. What does come into your heart mean? Is it like this little floaty thing comes down and like blah, 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 like, what is that? And do we really understand what salvation is if all we can say is that he came into my heart, or I accepted him, or I asked him to be my savior, and all these things, and we don't really know what this gospel is? And then, okay, go ahead. Alyssa's going to jump out of her seat. Brethren? Ha-ha! Yes, say it in the microphone.
Surrender.
Yeah, surrender. Okay, surrender. So here's the key. Peter's saying not that you need to obey by, like, being, like, in conformity with this big long list of do's and don'ts, which we talk about all the time. That's nothing new to you guys. I've said that a lot. But he is saying obey the truth. And usually this word truth, Peter uses it to refer to the gospel itself, this work that Jesus did, which means that as we sit and we say, Christ, I'm going to get on my knees before you now and surrender me to you. I'm going to surrender my will and my desires and my life. And now you're the king and you get to make these calls. Because you're that big and I can't do it myself, which is all of this is some of the stuff you guys have said. Put it all together and we get this word called surrender. Where I say, I am no longer in charge. You have to be in charge and you're my master. You're my king. That's why the Bible keeps using Lord and king and all these words about Christ. Because he needs to be in charge of you. And your heart needs to be in a place where you can say, I give up. But we don't want to give up. We want to believe that there's a God because it makes us feel good. And who wants to go to hell? Nobody does. So, yeah, we want to pray this magic chant and this prayer that says, if I do this, then I get to, I don't have to go to hell. Yes. It's not what it's about. It doesn't stop there. Just believing it is not enough. We went through the first four chapters of Hebrews and we saw that. Talking to people who knew, but did nothing with it. This knowledge of the gospel and that Jesus died for you and all the stuff that we said about him is not enough if you just say it. It's not enough if you just pray it and fold your hands. You have to mean it in your heart and take your life and say, I surrender to you. I give myself up. You're more important than me. And you obey this truth that we see in the gospel. And don't just believe it. We obey it and we bow on our knees and we surrender to Christ. We give our lives to Christ. That's what giving your life to Jesus means. It's yours now. I don't own it anymore. That means what you say goes, not because I feel obligated, but because I just belong to you. And so Peter's saying, you know what? You've been purified by obeying the truth. Not by anything else that you might think, because he just talked about these empty traditions, remember? Remember, you guys? These empty traditions that got passed down from their ancestors and all this other stuff. He's like, none of that stuff works. The one thing is obeying the truth of Jesus Christ. Bowing down and surrendering. And then he says, so that, that's a key phrase for us. This is why. So that you have sincere love for your brothers. So as you become changed, as this gospel starts to take hold of your life and changes you, as you surrender and say, I'm no good, I need you, Christ. Guess what's going to show up in your life? Love. Guess what's one of the hardest things to show other people? Love. And you don't believe me? Stop. Close your eyes. Everybody close. Close them. Kink. Beepers closed. Now think. This is reflection time. It's easier to think about your heart when your eyes are closed. I don't know. All right. So let's get serious for 1 second. And some of you guys are like, sweet, I get to sleep right now. But you've been sleeping already, so I'm not going to bother you. So with your eyes closed, just think. Just today. Let's not even go further back than today. Think of some of the interactions you've had with people around you. Have they been loving? What kind of words have you said? Try to think of all the mean stuff you said to somebody today. Or maybe you didn't even say it, you just felt it because that person really annoys you like crazy. And so in your heart, you were like, oh, I can't stand them. How about your family? How are you with your parents? How's that relationship going? Is that loving? Your teachers? Maybe the one that gives you lots of homework? How about those people in school that try to be cooler than you? And you try to be cooler than them, and you're like, you look at them across the lunchroom, and you're like, oh, I can't stand them. Start to think about your day and say, how loving are my actions and my thoughts and my words? How loving is my heart? Because you can go, you can open your eyes. Because this is what Peter says. As you become holy, you will love people. Scripture tells us that the world will know us as believers by our love. And so how dare we say, I'm a Christian, I love Christ, but I can't love the people around me because I'm the biggest gossip that ever walked the face of the planet. All I do is trash other people all the time. I can't get along with my parents. They don't understand me. And we can go down the list of things that we do that does not show the world that we love. But yet we say that we love Christ and that he's working this holiness in us. Peter says it, as holiness is worked inside your heart, the byproduct of this is that you will love your brothers and sisters. And he doesn't just say love, he says sincere love. And the idea he's giving us is that it comes from like our guts, our inside, our bowels. So that as we love so deeply, it's like the deepest form of love we could have. It's not this gushy like, oh yeah, how you doing, buddy? And you really don't care and you just walk off. And they're like, my house just burned down and my dog died. And you're like, okay, good to hear, bye. Like, but that really is so often what we do. That's the extent of our love. And we feel good about ourselves because we're like, how are you? And, oh, I'm such a good saint. Look at me. Oh, I'm asking him how his day was. Can't even stand that kid. And you walk up. This is a sincere love that says, I am willing to sacrifice for other people. Now, I'm not stupid. I know that maybe 99%, and I'm probably in that 99%, and probably I am, of us don't like to sacrifice for other people. And what I mean is, like, we're selfish. Let's just be honest. Like, we're stinking selfish people. And we think about us and what we need and what we want, and we really don't care about other people that much. Unless it's to make ourselves look or feel better. Because we need friends, right? So to get friends will be nice, but other than that, like, we really only do that because we're selfish too and we want friends. Like, we seriously, what I just want, I don't want to be morbid and like depressing, but I want you to grasp the fact that we think we're loving. Most of us would raise our hand. If I were to ask you, are you loving? We'd raise our hand, but we honestly do not even get this concept of the love that he's talking about. The next phrase he says, love one another deeply. And then he emphasizes even further and says, from the heart. That's like five adjectives that Peter has used to tell us how deep and strong this love is. And we think we're loving, but really we're just hurting each other. Really, we just hate each other and we disguise it in this fake compassion that we might pretend to have. Because we don't even grasp what it is to sacrifice for other people. Or to love the unlovable. Or the people that hate our guts. Or that are really, really hard to get along with. Those are the people we're called to love. That's a deep love that's from the heart, that oversees all their flaws and their mean attitude maybe, or whatever else it might be that stops you from loving them and serving them and sacrificing for them. And part of it is we're just selfish. Like I said before, we don't care. Peter said, hey, that doesn't work, because Christ is none of that. His whole life was about serving you. His whole life was about dying for you. This gospel that we get bored at and fall asleep listening to and roll our eyes and are just tired. You're talking about the gospel again, really? Well, I hope it's the greatest news we hear every single time we hear it, because it still saves us every single second of every single day. Peter's saying it. You should look different. You should love. A couple years ago, when I was teaching at MICS, we translated this one story. Some of you guys might remember this story about this little boy, and he was really, really sick. Translated because it was a Spanish class. And he was really sick, and he went to the hospital, and then the doctors come out and tell his parents, like, he's going to die. He needs a blood transfusion, like, really, really soon, or he's not going to make it. And unfortunately, his blood type is really rare. And there's not a lot of time to look for donors. We need to check his family because that's the most likely donor. And so they go through the different members of the family. Results come back. And the only one that has that same exact blood type that was compatible was the youngest little boy, his little brother. And so he's like, the doctor's like, you know, we really need to get it from him, but he's underage. We need your permission. And so parents give permission. And the doctor's like, I'll talk to him. And sits him down. And he's like, all right, you know, your brother's really sick. And he's like, yeah. He's like, and we really need your blood so that your brother can make it. We got to give him a blood transfusion, and he needs your blood so that he can get better. Would you be willing to do that? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'll do it. And so he's, okay, we'll get you ready. And so they put him on the table, and they get him all connected, and the doctor wants to make sure he's, you know, all, he looks nervous. So he's like, is there anything else you need to ask me, any other questions? And the little boy looks up, and he's like, I just have one question. He says, how long will it take me before I die? And the doctor's like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, well, my brother needs my blood. How long will it take before I die? And so the little boy thought that he was going to give all of his blood. He didn't know he was just going to give a little bit of it. He thought he was going to give up all of his blood for his brother. And he was still laying on that table willing to do it. Now, I don't know if that's a story somebody just made up and put in a book, but I really don't care. The principle's the same. True sacrificial love says, I don't care about me. I care about this person that I say I love. And I am out of the picture. And if my life goes away, that's okay, because I love this person. That's love. Not the selfish love that says, what do I get out of this? Can I feel better for doing this? This love says, it might hurt me, but I'm willing to go through that because I love so much. And Peter's saying, this is true love that you should have. This is why the world will see that you're different and know you're God's, because it doesn't make sense to love like that. And he goes on and he further explains it. He goes in verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. My translation says this, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. So he says, hey, you want to know the reason why you'll be able to love so much, that type of crazy love? This is why. You're born again. You have a new life. And this life that's given to you now isn't one that's going to end real quick. It's one that's going to last forever. And you're like, yeah, I've heard that. You know the perspective difference it's going to give you when you realize that? It changes everything. Because as we go through life, this is what we do. I'm going to die soon. Because we're all dying. Like every single person in this room is going to die. You guys know that. We're like barreling down the track of life. Sounds really sad. But we are, because life's sad. That's where we live, a broken world. And this broken world is bringing us closer and closer to death, every single one of us. And one day all of us will be gone, some sooner, some later. And so what we do is, as we're barreling down this little train track, we try to grab onto things. Grab onto this. Let me snag some of that. My life's almost over. And so, you know what? I better grab this while I have a chance. Oh, I need to grab onto that while I have a chance. And oh, and all of a sudden, you know what? It's all about us. Because I need to live my life. Ever hear that? It's my life. Let me live it. Why? Because it's precious, right? It's not very long. We're all barreling towards death. So, hey, let me live my life the way I need to live it. Let me make my decisions. Let me grow up. Let me do this. Let me do that. And everything's about me because I'm going to die soon and my life's going to be over. So I better live it now and enjoy it. I was walking with my niece. We're out for a walk down the little sidewalk there, and she's like a little freak. Like, she likes to look at all sorts of weird stuff. So she'll stop like a little puppy, and I have to like drag her along. And up ahead, there was this like bird that was laying in the sidewalk, and it was a hurt bird. It was just like laying there. Before I even had a chance to like grab onto her and keep her from the bird, she runs straight up to it and goes down and tries to pick it up, like wondering what it is. And as she goes down, it bit her, obviously, because birds bite. And so it turns and it bites her, and she gets all upset and cries and runs straight back to me, and she grabs on. And I look down, and she's got these big tears, and she's like, you know, like sobbing. And she looks at me, and she goes, why is it so mean? You know? I was like, well, why do animals attack you? You know, like, they're trying to protect themselves. The bird's thinking it's going to die. It doesn't want to die. It doesn't want you to hurt it. So what does it do? It attacks. That's part of nature. That's part of science. That's part of us. We're built to survive, to stay alive. And so just as that little bird wanted to just bite you and be mean, it's its instinct to say, I need to survive, so it's all about me, and you stay back. And we can do that too. We do that too. Because we want to survive, and life becomes about us because we have this life that's going to end quickly. And so we need to try to live it for now, and all we care about is us, us, us. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us and gives us a new life that will last forever. And all of a sudden, I'm not in such a rush, and I don't care so much about me because my eyes are so fixed on where I'm going, on an eternity with the maker of the universe, that I have no more time to be selfish and grab onto stuff for me because it's all about him. And so now I'm free. I'm not pressured. I'm not biting out at people mad because I'm about to die. I need to live my life the way I need to live it. Peter says this changes your entire view because it's not an imperishable life that you're living. It's going to be this new life is eternal, and you have the promise of eternity, and that frees you up. And now you can love other people and worry about their lives and where they're going. Our very mission statement here, you know, because I make you say it all the time. Love God. What's the next one? Love people and go into the world. And that's the process. As you love God, it changes you. So you start to love people, and you love them so much, you go into the world and you tell them this awesome news that you have. Because you're not worried about where you're going anymore. You know you're going to be with Christ forever. And so now you care so much about these people. You love them, deeply love them. And you can tell them about that same love. And so Peter says, man, there better be a change. There needs to be something different. And look what he says in verse 24. As scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. At first, that sounds like a poem, like one of you guys read a girl, you know, like, oh, you know, your beauty is like this flower in the field. It wouldn't go over so hot if you use this one, because then you're like, it's going to wither and fade and fall. You're going to get wrinkly and fat and ugly. Don't try that, boys. Some of you will. You're like, it's scripture. Isn't that hot? That's awesome. Not only a beautiful poem, I quoted scripture to her. I'm godly. Not going to work. And I'm going to close with this, but I want you to listen close. Isaiah is actually the one who wrote this verse that Peter's quoting. And he's saying that we are just like flowers and grass that just die so quickly. And that our lives are really short, and all these things that we invest our lives in and try really hard to go get are just going to crumble. And I know as you sit here tonight, probably half of us, I mean, I might be overstating, I don't know, but I have the right to, I have the microphone, all right? I'm bad with numbers too. I dare say, because I can include myself in this, a lot of times most of us are just about our own lives. And most of the stuff in those lives that we live, it's just about us. And it's garbage that's going to break and fail us and not matter. Walk into a cemetery or a graveyard and walk around and ask those dead bodies in the ground if anything they tried to accomplish really mattered anymore. Like, who cares? What does it benefit them? They're still laying there. They're still worms eating their body. And all the great accomplishments they ever made really don't matter. Name something. Name something that you think is the most important thing. It's garbage, unless it's Jesus Christ. Because it says right here, the only thing that's going to last is the Word of God. What are you investing your life in? I ask you guys this like every single week. And some of like, it's easy to stand up here and kind of prejudge people, but like sometimes it happens. Okay, so I stand here and you look around and you can like tell like what certain people are thinking sometimes or what they care about, because most of the time, like when you're sitting here, you'll be so like entranced with the girl next to you and holding her hand or like playing with her hair or messing with her that like we know, like it's really obvious that all you care about really is like the girl sitting next to you, and that's probably why you're sitting here tonight. That's cool, you're here, so I'm glad. I'll take that. And then others are like too busy like sleeping, and like maybe you just had a hard day, so you know, whatever, but or maybe you just really don't care. And then others, you're just like trying to be the funny person, and you like you try to like make all your friends giggle, because really you're here so that your friends laugh at you, and like, you know, and that's cool because you like community and fellowship, you know. We could be here for all sorts of reasons. And some nights we come for Christ and other nights we're so distracted, and I'm putting myself right in that group, because even standing up here, it can be really hard sometimes to be here for the right reason. All of us. Your pastor that stands up on a Sunday morning might have a hard time standing on that stage preaching that word, because it's hard. Because sometimes we want to live for us. No, not sometimes. Pretty much all the time. And Peter's saying, hey, listen, you can either live for you and waste your entire life, because when you die, it's all going to be garbage and just pass away. Or you can finally live for something that's worth it. You can finally say the blood of Christ is so precious and powerful that it's going to change me, and I'm not going to live for all this junk that doesn't matter. Who cares? I want to live for the one thing that's going to go on past this life, the one thing that really matters. And at the end, I'm going to stand up and say, phew, I'm glad I invested in Christ, because all this other garbage is gone and I'm left with nothing. And it's your choice. I mean, some of us will still come and just play with our phone the entire time. That's fine. And some of us will still leave and just go have fun and not care about sharing the gospel. Some of us will still do our own thing and not care. But know this, Christ is still going to chase so hard after you, he's not going to give up. And he's going to chase you. And if you're sitting here tonight, it's because he wants you here. And you might just hear this one little thing in the back of your head, and good. But know that we pray for you every single night. Know that we pray for you throughout the week. Know that we love you and that you're in stations because we want leaders to be able to be there for you and love on you. And these leaders are actually here so that when you're like, man, I have no idea what Rob spoke about that night because he's such a weirdo and like, I don't get any of that stuff. Guess what? You can go to your leader and say, can you like slow this way down and explain this thing, this gospel thing he keeps talking about? Can you explain all this holiness stuff we're talking about? And that's why they're there and they love you. And so if you find yourself in that boat where you're like, man, I just don't care, will you do that for me? Will you talk to your leaders? I don't care if it's throughout the week and it's like midnight, they're going to kill me. Call him. Call him up. Call Adam Turner. Everybody just call him. I'm just kidding. We love you, Adam. No, but seriously, listen to me. That's why we're doing this, right? We love you. And we're not wasting our time talking about this thing called the gospel over and over and over every single Wednesday night because we just like to do it, even though we do. At least I do. Because it's really that important, or we wouldn't keep repeating it to you. And I'm not just talking about people that don't know the gospel yet. I'm talking about every single one of us. I need the gospel every single day. We all need the gospel every single day. And so as you look at this thing called holiness, I want you to think of two things. Number one, is this love that he's talking about really in my life? Or am I just faking it? And number two, what am I investing in? Something that's going to last? Or is it all about me that's just going to fade away? Will you pray with me? Just before we pray, with your eyes still closed, I just want to take advantage of your eyes being closed for 1 second. We talk every single week. I ask you guys, like, are you sharing Christ? Like, you should step up and be leaders, and you should want to serve him and go tell people about Jesus. And I'm just curious, like, so that nobody else is seeing you, can you just raise your hand if you shared Christ with one person or even tried this week? Will you just raise your hand so I can see, like, I kind of just want to be encouraged and know that some people are hearing this. That's awesome. Thank you. You put your hands down. That keep it up. Thank you for loving Christ. Thank you for serving him. Some of us, we need to step up. We need to serve. We need to tell people about this awesome gospel. And band's going to play one last song. I'll pray real quick, and then you guys are free to come up and just worship. Use this time just to talk to him and say, God, will you change me? And when this song's done, I want you to just get with your C groups, your fire stations. You guys can go talk about this stuff, all right? Let me pray. God, we love you, and we thank you that you have made a way for us to be with you again. And God, every day it seems hard to say no to our flesh and what we want, but Christ, I pray that we'd learn to surrender every single day to you. We learn to be grateful for that precious blood that changed us so much that you fill us with love for other people. God, teach us to invest in the right things. We love you so much. It's in Christ's name we pray.